softer than the summer night. Everything I want I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment.
Well, that'll make a lot more sense to you in just a little while. We're starting a brand new series today. I'm going to talk about the Haiti Bunch at the end of the lesson and another announcement that we have. But we're starting a new lesson today, and the series is called The Presence of God. And today's title is This Magic Moment. And Judy warned me about the title a little bit, but I think you can handle it. But we're going to work here. We're going to be talking about the presence of God. I want to start by just asking you some questions. How can a person overcome a habit that they've maybe tried to overcome and defeat for years and years, maybe 30 years, maybe something like smoking, something like that? How can a person overcome that? You know, I know you got the pills and all that stuff, but can you ever overcome it? How about profanity? A guy, even a woman, can hear profanity all their lives, hear their parents use it, their friends use it, adults use it, and as they grow older, when they get frustrated or aggravated, these nasty words just kind of come out of you. You don't want to use it, you don't want your kids to hear you say it or use it, but there it is, you know, and you just get frustrated with yourself. How do you stop using profanity? How about, you know, these hideous situations that we sometimes find ourselves in, where you're just under the stress. How do we ever come to a place where instead of experiencing the stress and illnesses and sicknesses and those kinds of things, that we experience instead the presence of God, the peace of God, and joy and happiness and hope? How do we do that? Those things are tough, right? I mean, people go all their lives never breaking habits. They try all these things. They do all this stuff to try to stop using profanity and go through their life always stressed out. And most of us would say, you know, I don't know if you can ever really overcome some of that stuff. And you can't without the Spirit of God, for number one. But what we're going to be talking about is the presence of God. These monitors are driving me nuts. Can we do something with the monitors? They're off? The presence of God. I just took it away. But the presence of God, without the presence of God, those things that I'm talking about, there you go. Without the presence of God in our life, those things are just hardly ever really overcome. But with the presence of God on a continual basis in our life, we can find that those things cannot only be overcome, but they can easily be overcome. So let's get started. That's what we're after. I want to read you a scripture. It's going to kind of be a base scripture for us. It's going to be a sort of a central scripture that we'll be looking at today, but maybe in the weeks to come. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 says this: "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." Now, as I move through this passage, I want to point out certain things. And here what I want us to see is that Moses and God had this relationship where they could just talk like friends. Can you and I have that kind of relationship with God? Is that possible today to really discuss life's issues with God and actually get answers? Then Moses would return to camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Now, that's a great sign of a successor, that somebody that wants not only your spirit, but somebody who wants the Spirit of God, who wants the presence of God in their life. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you'll send with me." Maybe you remember the story. God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt with a mighty hand. They came out, Red Sea opened, all that stuff, went into the wilderness, manna from heaven, water from a rock, all of that wonderful stuff's going on and happening in their lives. But they start murmuring, they start complaining, they start talking about wanting to go back to Egypt. And God says, "I'm done with them. I'm just going to wipe them all out. I'm going to kill them all, Moses. I'm just going to start over with you." And Moses says, oh, no, that's not what's going to happen. All the nations are talking about you. What are they going to say if you kill us all? That's not what you're going to do. No. Well, God said, well, okay, well, I won't kill them, but I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel. And Moses says, oh, no. I want you to go. I want you. Not an angel. I want you. Now, most of us have just been happy with an angel, right? But Moses didn't want an angel. Moses wanted the Lord. So this is the discussion here. You told me you, but you're not telling me. Are you going to go? Or is an angel going to go? What are you going to do here? You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, watch now. This is interesting. Teach me your ways. So here's why I want to know your ways, so I can know you. The reason, folk, that we do what we're doing today, the reason that we read the scriptures, that we listen to teaching, preaching, that we pray, is to learn His way so that we can know Him. Not so we can just have good theology, not so we'll have a lot of knowledge. It's so that we can know Him, and it goes on, and continue to find favor with you. I can know you and find favor with you. I want you to like me. That's what Moses is saying here. You know, I like you. I want you to like me. I want to know your way so that you'll like me. He says, remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied. Now, here we go. My presence will go with you. Okay. I'll go with you, Moses. Okay. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. Now, this is primary a theme that we're going to be talking about in the presence of God. When you have the presence of God, you have rest. As I show you something in a little while later, you're going to see the opposite of life when you don't have the presence of God. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. In other words, if you're not going, I don't want to go. What he's saying is, I want to be where your presence is. If your presence is here, I'm staying here. Your presence to me is more important than anything else. I want your presence. I'm asking a question to you. Is it possible for you to have a friendship relationship with God like Moses, like Noah, like David, like Abraham? Then why don't you have one? If it's possible for you to. Why? Why do we leak? Why do we get so pumped up and fired up about God and then we just kind of leak out? During our series on Praise Him, Worship Him, I was in here praying. And when I'm really wanting and entreating God for something that I want to share with you, I ledger. I get a pad out and I'll walk, pray, talk to the Lord, and I'll write down stuff. This is what I'm really wanting to hear from Him. Because I really don't know how it really looks or sounds until I write it. And I encourage you to do the same thing. But I was in here ledgering and I was walking in my circle and I got over here by camera stand number one and the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to talk about the presence of God. And I wrote that down. Well, I already had a couple of series lined up. And so I said, okay. I had never taught the presence of God in a series form before. I mentioned it and know about it, but never really emphasized it and taught it. So I put it on the burner and finished up the series that we were already working on and in and began to prepare for this one, the presence of God. Now, the thing I fear is that many of you don't know what I'm talking about. You might think you do. And I even fear more than that some of you have never experienced the presence of God the way God wants to experience it with you. My prayer in our series is this, is that you will have a magic moment with God. And again, she's warned me about using that. I'm talking about a supernatural moment with God. Not a magic mystical in that it's, you know, a fake magic thing. but magical in that something happens supernaturally in you. I just thought that was just a neat catch term, something that could hook in our minds, a magic moment with God. And so I'm praying that you'll have a magic moment with God if you've never had one and don't know what I'm talking about, but it will be the first of many magic moments. And for those of you who know exactly what I'm talking about and have had that magic moment with God, I pray that for you, you just fall in love with God all over again in our series. And so this is what I'm after. Well, Delbert, don't we just have the presence of God? Isn't the presence of God something that all Christ followers have? Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. David talks about that in Psalms 139, verse 7. He says this, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And he lists a bunch of places. He says, if I go to heaven, of course you're there. But if I go to hell, you're there too. He says, if I go in the morning and the dawn, you're there. If I go in the darkness of the night, you're there. If I go to my bed, you're there. God is omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where he's not. But realize that's the same presence that Satan has. Am I right? In fact, Job talks about a time where Satan presented himself before the Lord and left before his presence. Satan probably knows a lot more about the presence of God than a lot of Christians do. I'm not talking about that omnipresence. If you're a Christ follower, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you have the presence of God always available to you, but that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a much higher level presence of God, a higher dimension of the presence of God. See, 2 billion Christians are on this planet, and you know many of them, but how many of them would you honestly say, really, when you get around them, have the presence of God? How many of you have ever experienced the presence of God? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I just want your mind working. Where he was so real, so thick, so present that you felt like you could touch him. That just like in the Bible with these Bible characters, when the presence of God came upon them, that you couldn't stand on your feet. That you had to go down. It wasn't that something knocked you down or pushed you down. It was that was just a logical thing to do. You just go down. Because there was such a thick presence, such a holy presence of God, that was just the right thing to do, was just to go down. And you found yourself covering your face, you know, like Moses at the burning bush. He went down and covered his face because the holy presence of God was there. Even though it may have been something that you've experienced, a place you've been so many times, you're on holy ground. And it may be your own bedroom. You've been there a million times, but whoa, something's different here. And you go down. And you're crying. You're experiencing a presence that you've never experienced before. You're afraid, but not fearfully afraid that something bad's about to happen. You're afraid to move because you're afraid if you move, the presence will leave. Have you ever experienced that? This is what I'm talking about. I want us to know God the way Moses knew him. The way Noah knew him. I want you to know him in a friendship relationship with God. For those of you who have experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there and you've done that and you've had that magic moment. And I'm praying that the rest of you who have never had that have your first of many. That's what I really want. I want God to be as real to you as he was to Moses, as he was to Noah. As he was to Abraham. I've wrestled exactly with how to teach this and begin specifically this one. There's just a wealth of examples in the scriptures where people had magic moments with God. And there's a wealth of scriptures that we can talk about and look at. But what I've decided to do instead is just share with you my first magic moment that I can remember. With God. I was just saved, hadn't been saved a real long time, but for a little while. And I was still very young in the Lord. I was falling in love with God. I was reading my Bible every day. I was praying every day, and I was loving doing it. I couldn't do it enough. I was very active in church. I was there all the time. Every time the doors were open to church, I was there. I was there when the doors weren't open. I cut grass. I fixed stuff in the building. I served the pastor. I served the people. I did every possible thing I could. I gave my money. I gave my time. I gave my talents. I was falling in love with God. And at that particular time in my life, I worked at a textile plant, and I worked the graveyard shift. And that was for me from 12 midnight until 8 a.m. in the morning. And I was the overseer of the third shift. I had the control of the plant. I was to take care of the plant at that time of night, morning, whatever that would be. I guess it would be morning. And so I was there, and that was what I was doing. And my ritual every day is at 4 o'clock when my lunch time came, my lunch break came, I would lock my office door. And there was another office adjoining mine, which was my boss's office. And I would go into his office, and there was a folding metal chair there. And I would kneel, and I would pray at this little folding metal chair every day, 4 o'clock. And I was loving it. I mean, I looked forward to it. It wasn't that I had to pray. I wanted. I looked forward to this time. And so I was in there in my prayer position in my little metal chair, and I was praying to the Lord. This presence came in. Something began happening that had never happened to me before. It was the presence of God. I knew what it was. I just didn't know what to do with it. It came in. And it was just was there. Every nerve on my body was so sensitively aware, ultra aware of the presence of God. Every nerve in my spirit was aware of what was happening, but I didn't know what to do. I had never experienced this before, kind of read about it in the Bible, but it never had happened to me. And so there I was. I was afraid. It was a peaceful, but it was fearful. It was calming, but it was exciting. And I didn't know what to do. And I just waited there. And as I waited there, and as I began to pray and seek the Lord, I was afraid to move because I was afraid if I moved that presence would leave. I wasn't afraid that I would do something wrong, but if I moved, then maybe it would leave. And I didn't want it to leave. I wanted to experience it, and I was afraid to open my eyes because I wasn't afraid I would see something horrific or horrifying, but I was afraid that I would see something that would get my focus off of what was happening. So I kept my eyes glued shut, and I was experiencing this amazing presence. And like I said, I didn't know what was happening. And so something began going on inside of me. I began groaning. And it wasn't coming out of my throat. And it wasn't coming out of my chest. It was coming out from here. Way down here. Something began stirring. And I began groaning. Later, after experiencing it, I had to look it up in scriptures just to make sure that I wasn't having some weird deal, you know. So I found out that I was okay. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says this: in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I couldn't express what was happening to me. I couldn't explain it. I didn't have words for it. It had never happened to me before. I was crying. Not because I was sad, but because I was experiencing the love from God like I had never experienced before. I was crying, and I was already on this metal chair in prayer position with my eyes closed, you know, but I wasn't low enough. I came off of that chair, went into a fetal position on the floor with my face in my hands, and there on that nasty wooden floor, I was in the presence of God, groaning. I was feeling words. I could have thought I was hearing them. It was so clear. It was so plain. But I wasn't hearing. I was feeling words. But even more than feeling words, I was feeling the experiences of life. I began feeling what I was to do with my life, what I was to pursue, what I was to do for the rest of my life. And it was not work in a textile mill. What I felt I was supposed to do was prepare myself to teach and to preach the Word of God. That was 42 years ago. Since that day, since that magic moment, that's been the direction of my life. Every day, every moment of my life has moved into that direction. The presence of the Lord, the magic moment lifted just as it had come. I didn't immediately jump up. I remained there, experiencing it as much as I could, going over what had just happened, trying to figure it out. I want to tell you this because I don't know that all of you know this about me, but I talk in tongues. And it was after that moment that I began to do it. It didn't happen at that moment. It happened that next morning. I could just talk in tongues. It wasn't something I was seeking after. It wasn't something that I was pursuing. It was just something that happened to me. But not only did that happen to me, also all the other gifts of the Spirit began to amplify in me. I could prophesy all of a sudden. All of a sudden I could interpret tongues. I could give a message in tongues. I could minister gifts of healing and healings. And I could discern spirits. And all of these things just came alive in me in a way they never had been before. I remember the next morning, as I was preparing to pray. I locked the door again. I was excited. I knew I was ready this time. And I went back there and I prayed and nothing happened. And it never happened again at that folding chair like that. It was kind of like Moses at the burning bush. Moses had one burning bush experience. He never got to repeat that first time. But it was so special that it absolutely changed his life. Now, he had many, many more experiences, more magic moments. But that was his first one. And there's nothing like that first one. It was exciting to me. It was an amazing time for me. It was a precious, monumental time in my life. That was my first magic moment. Powerful presence of God. When was my last one? 1 month ago today. I know because I wrote it down. I was in here doing another journaling and, you know, interceding with the Lord, praying about this particular series. I was in here walking and praying, and this day I had my journal, I was walking, and I come around over here real close to where I sit and met the presence of God, and down again I went. Facing my hands, my crying again, hearing the Lord and the love of God fill me and just come upon me again. And much of what I want to be talking about during this series came from that experience right there. 1 month ago today, July the 22nd, about 10 a.m. I wrote it down. That's how I know. But there have been none, though I've had many magic moments, none was like that first one. Now, here's where I want to go with this. Though we have magic moments and we feel the presence of God in our life and we get so filled and so excited and so pumped up and we feel like it's going to be that way forever. But it's not. It doesn't work that way. There's a screech at the end of the magic moment, as I tried to show you in the song. This magic moment. Screech! And sometimes the screech is real short. Sometimes I've seen people screech out in a week. Or sometimes it's more like my screech. Took a couple of years. But there always seems to be a screech. It was May of 1978. That's a long time ago now. That was when I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I quickly became intoxicated with God. Intoxicated with His Spirit. I was addicted to Him. I couldn't get enough of Him. I was living Ephesians 5:18. Here's what it says. Do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, and it is. Instead, get drunk with or be filled with the Spirit. I was there. I was living that. Man, I couldn't get enough of God. I was like Moses, teach me your ways. I filled boxes, ask her. I filled boxes up with audio tapes. Remember when we used to listen to audio tapes? And now we got the CDs and the DVDs, but I had boxes of audio tapes. And there's still some of them up in my attic, and some of them in my office. But anyway, I couldn't get enough. I couldn't read enough books. I couldn't read my Bible enough. I couldn't pray enough. I wanted to know His way so I could know Him. I was, again, doing everything I possibly could. I wanted to talk to people about Jesus. I mean, you got around me, you heard about Jesus. If you knew anything about the Bible, I would pick your mind, but also I would tell you what I knew. I wanted to talk to you about the Bible. I wanted to talk to you about Jesus. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, He says, "Go ye and be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Well, I didn't witness because I had to. He didn't say, go and do witnessing. He said, go you and be witnesses. That's what I was. I was a witness. I mean, I would talk to anybody about Jesus if I had a half a chance. I was so intoxicated with God. I wanted to teach people. I began to teach the Word of God. I would teach people anywhere, anytime, any place. I wanted to lead people because my life was changing and I wanted to lead people out of the debaucheries and things that they were in. I wanted to lead people. I wanted to lead a church. And today I watch people go through the same process. I see them get so pumped and so filled with God, having that magic moment. And then I see the screech. What happens? Why do we sober up? Why do we leak? I heard a preacher say that one time. I guess it was a preacher. I'm not real sure exactly where I heard it first, if I read it or heard it on the tape or heard a preacher say it, but I don't know. But he says, you know, we leak. We get filled with His Spirit and then we leak it out. We leak. Why do we leak? We get filled with the presence of God, magic moment, and then it leaks out. Moses would go into the mount and talk to God and get in God's presence. Or he would go into the tent of meeting and he would get in the presence of God. And the Bible said he would glow. His face would glow and his hands would glow. And then while he was glowing, he'd go talk to the people. And then when he got done talking to the people, he put a veil on until the next time he talked to God. So Paul picks up on that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul kind of explains why Moses did that. The reason Moses did that is because his glow departed. And he didn't want the people to see him leak. And so he would put this veil on so that as he deglowed, that's a double word, as he deglowed, that they wouldn't see it. And then he would get it again, he'd glow again, he'd come back and talk to the people again. Even Moses leaked. And as I look at every character in the Scriptures who had this personal friendship relationship with God, I saw they leaked, at least some. I think every person leaks. We have that amazing magic moment, and then we leak. And when I leaked, instead of God being in my nearly every thought, He was in fewer and fewer thoughts. And a time came when the things that I was so intoxicated to do and so looked forward to doing, like reading my Bible, like going to church, like praise, like worship, like those things that I so, in my magic moment, wanted to do, became work to me. I became scripted and I became regimented. The intoxicating pleasure left. I developed the had-tos. I had a had-to religion. I had to read my Bible. I had to pray. I had to give. I had to do it. I had to praise. I had to worship. I had to do it. I had to minister to people. I had to. It became a had-to situation. Very regimented. Very, very legalistic. Very, 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 you know, got to do it. Had to do it. And instead of God being a pleasure to do, He became a had-to. And it didn't come that way on purpose. I didn't intentionally intend it to happen. That was one of the last things I would ever have wanted to happen, but it happened. I leaked. And here's where it leaked from. It leaked from my heart. And my heart became dry to God. The wineskin that was so once full bursting with the love of God. And the presence of God became rigid, dry. Then you add to that the disappointments of life. And I had this wonderful illustration that I was going to show you until it wouldn't work. I was going to fill a balloon up with water. And I was going to poke holes in it just to show you how we leak. But it doesn't just leak. It explodes. And my office floor is wet this morning because my illustration failed. But imagine this illustration. Imagine that if you had a balloon full of water and you poke holes in it and it's spewing and it's leaking. And so this is the illustration that I kind of had. And you add to the disappointments with what's going on in your life, the disappointments of life, for example, financial disappointments. We've all have financial disappointments. How am I going to pay tithes when I can't pay my bills? Anybody? No one raised their hand. Everyone, okay. Got them there. There you go. I want to do it, but you know. And the disappointment in marriage. Well, I had disappointments in our marriage, just like you do. We had disappointments with our children, just like you do. The troubles with children, the problems at work, and people promise you, I'm going to be with you, buddy. I'm going to support you forever. And then they abandon you and then talk about you like you're evil. This is going on, and I was going to take this balloon and I was going to poke all these holes in it. And I was going to show you, you know, all of this stuff causes us to leak. But really, it causes us to explode. And my little holes became large holes, and I found myself empty, going into the motions of the religion of men without a relationship with God. There was very little presence in my life. I became a dried up wineskin instead of the once full wineskin. I remember this verse. It's in Job chapter 32. It's about a guy named Eliu, and here's what he says. He says in Job 32:19, inside I'm like bottle of wine, like new wineskins, ready to burst. That's how I once was. But when I leaked out, I became dried and cracked, leaky and regimented. And I found myself slipping back. Now we could say backsliding. I found myself slipping back into old habits, old thoughts, old words. I found myself entertaining lewd thoughts that I shouldn't even allow. My thought life allowed those negative things. I couldn't help anyone. I was rigid, I was regimented, and I was religious. And I brought all of that here to say. This is what I want to say. Main point I want to make today is I was disappointed. I was disappointed. I was disappointed in life. I was disappointed with me. I was disappointed with church. I was disappointed. I was disappointed. I felt I was a disappointment to God, but here's what I wouldn't say, but here's what we all feel sometimes. God was a disappointment to me. I didn't feel God had done what He was supposed to do for me. And so I was disappointed with God, and I felt God was disappointed with me. And what my relationship that had begun so rich and so full had dried up. I was empty and I was disappointed. Now, I've led church. I've taught. I've pastored for nearly 30 years. I've taught the Bible for 40. I have been in church and active in church all of these years. And I've watched more people than I want to remember experience this very same thing and go on this same journey that I've been. Many of you are on it or have been on it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I watched some people make the whole journey in a week. And you see it every week. People come in, they'll raise their hands, they'll dedicate themselves to the Lord. The Word of God is preached. They receive it. They respond to it. They have a magic moment. They cry. They go out of here dedicated to the Lord. They're going to serve Him for the rest of their life, and I never see them again. You've seen it. In 1 week's time, they leaked out. Others are more like me. They take a couple of years to totally leak out and dry up. But it seems that everybody goes down this path and goes down this journey. And upon arrival at this land of disappointment, upon arrival here, we're experiencing one of four things. You may be like me with my personality. You just suck it up and you just say, I made the commitment. Bless God. I'm going to do it. And so you just do it. You know, you just say, I'm going to do it. And God honors that. But here's the truth of that matter. It sometimes gets so rough. It wears you out. Or you may do number two. Number two is that people will become, if it's convenient, I'll do it. Convenient Christians. If I don't have anything else to do on Sunday, I'll go to church. If there's nothing better to do, let's go to church. I'll go. I'll sing a little bit. I'll clap a little bit. I'll give a little. I might tip God. It's according to how the preacher does. Actually, if he makes me mad, I'm not giving anything. You know, if it's convenient. And then the third one is the worst one of all. And they just totally backslide. They get away from God. Backslide. Just stop doing anything. And here's their reasoning. I'll try it again another time, another day, another place. And they go on this journey, and they end up in the land of disappointment. Disappointment with God and disappointed with themselves, feeling like they are a disappointment to God. And I found this scripture. I want to read it to you as fast as I can in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13. And when you're a preacher and you do what I do, these kinds of things just absolutely fascinate you because you've never quite seen them like this before. It's about Cain. You remember the story about Cain and Abel? Cain killed his brother Abel. God comes and says, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? And, you know, and he's going through this dialogue with God. God says, what have you done? And this is how this thing worked out. Genesis chapter 4, verse 13. Cain said to the Lord, my what? You got to see this. What, my what? My punishment is more than I can bear. Now, what's his punishment? Today, you are driving me from the land. That's really not what bothers him. Here's what bothers him. And I will be what? Hidden from your presence. Isn't that amazing? The thing that upset Cain the most, his punishment, was that he was going to be driven and hidden from the Lord's presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Remember when I read you that first scripture and I said, the Lord said, my presence will go with you and you'll have rest? Well, when you're away from or hidden from the Lord's presence, you don't have rest. You're a restless wanderer all of your life. You're just looking for something that will fulfill you and give you satisfaction. But you just wander through life restlessly. And whoever finds me will kill me. He's full of fear. Full of fear. But the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain. Isn't that interesting? You can have the Lord's mark, but not the Lord's presence. The Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. The land of disappointment. Cain was disappointed with himself. Cain felt like he was a disappointment to God. Cain was disappointed with God. And he lived in the land of Nod, full of fear. In the land of Nod. I wonder how many Christians today live in the land of Nod. The land of disappointment. And Cain added something here to the list of disappointments. We not only do we live in this area here in the absence from the presence of God, but we feel punished by God. Like God's punishing us somehow. Outside of God's presence, life is restless, life is fearful. You can have God's mark, but not God's presence. And Cain went out from. I told you there are four things that happen when a person goes down this journey and finds themselves in the land of Nod. the first thing that happens to them is they just suck it up and they're committed, so they're going to do it. The second thing that happens is they become convenience Christians. The third thing that happens to them is they just totally backslide. I haven't told you number four. Number four is what our series is really about. Number four is about a continuous presence of God. See, that's the thing that Bible characters had. Yeah, they leaked, just like you and me. They had their magic moments. But they would leak. But what they would do is they would have this continuous presence with God where they would be refilled again, like in Acts chapter 4. They were filled in Acts chapter 2, but they were refilled in Acts chapter 4. And there's this presence of God that you and I can have. I want to read to you again Exodus 33:11. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I want to point a thought out to you. Leave that up there. Who's speaking to whom here? Is Moses speaking to God? We know Moses did. But in this verse, this friendship verse where somebody speaking to somebody as a friend, who is speaking to whom? The Lord is speaking to Moses. What I'm wanting you to see today, folks, is the Lord wants to talk to you as a person talks to his friend. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you in his presence and he wants to be in yours. Can you do that? Is that possible? Yes! Yes! It's a continual presence of God. And so in our series, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about how your workstation at work, where you go 5 or 6 days a week, how that workstation should become your altar and should be your altar. Where right there, you can pray about everything, anyone, your family, instead of just concentrating on work and all the gripes of life, do you really have a time where you develop a relationship? God wants to be right there with you. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about how that cutting grass or washing dishes is really a time of just talking to God. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about how you go to Walmart and you're standing in line, perhaps, at the register, and this person in front here is holding the line up. Maybe they have something that's not marked. Or perhaps, and maybe this has happened to you, but this person is paying for whatever they're getting with welfare. And what are you, you got to go negative here. Well, are you supposed to do that or pray for this person? What if the presence of God, as soon as that happened, that triggered, that you saw in that person, it triggered something in you, and it said, pray for her, pray for him. And you said, Lord, bless their lives. Lord, I know they're having a tough time. If they're having to depend upon welfare, Lord, I just pray you'll give them a job, that you'll bless their lives, that things will go well for you. What if you did that? What if? I want to talk about this. I want to talk about how a man, especially a younger man, a man, can be just going down the road and see a pretty woman and have this lustful thought. But what if this lustful thought was a trigger that told you, instead of lusting for her, pray for her? She's somebody's daughter. She's somebody's wife. Pray for her family. Pray for her life. And you turned that lust into the love of God. What if you did that? What if instead of a hateful situation or you hate somebody and you've got this resentment, what if it became a trigger that you began to pray for them? Say, Lord, I just want you to bless their lives. What if the presence of God was like that? And you pray for things in front of you. I was sharing this with Judy. I had an opportunity the last 2 days just to be alone in the car. And I've got this in my head. Pray for what's in front of me. And I came up behind this car. And all of you know, heard me talk about my driving skills. And and how I get behind these slow people. And it just get out of my way. But this has been working in me. And it's become a trigger. And so I did this. And this guy's going really, really slow. And I'm behind him. And I'm this in this mind mode. Pray for what's in front of me. And he's got a handicap thing hanging from his mirror. And I just go into, it's a trigger, and I start praying for this guy. Lord, I know this guy's got some physical disabilities. I just pray you'll give him strength. I pray you bless him. And just a little while, it's passing. But what if we were able to do that and have the presence of God rather than religion of man? Rather than letting things get upset us and we judge them and we become condemning and judgmental, those things become a trigger for us to bring the presence of God into our lives, into our car, into our workplace, into the line at Walmart. What if? I wanted to tell you that the presence of God in your life will break any habit you have. It won't have to take a pill. The presence of God just comes into your life and you don't want to do anything that you feel like is displeasing to the Lord. The presence of God will stop profanity. Instead of you getting upset with something, you start praying for something. It doesn't even have a chance to rise up in you. The presence of God in your life will bring the peace of God. No matter what you're experiencing, no matter what hideous, stressful situation you're going through, if you start praying for that situation, you'll experience the presence of God and the peace of God and the hope of God. These are the things that we're going to be doing in our series. We're going to pick it up right here next week with After the Magic Moment, What? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness, your love for us. Lord, I know that as it was with Moses, you want to talk to us, each of us, individually, as a man speaks to his friend. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, got basically two things I want to ask you and talk to you about. Number one, first of all, those of you who know exactly what I'm talking about, you've had the magic moment. You've been there, you've done that, you've experienced the presence of God in this magnificent, amazing, filling way. The goosebumps, the whole thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. What I'm going to want you to do this week is rehearse that, even journal that. If you will, get out a piece of paper and write down what you remember about that situation and what you feel like God put into your heart. Because this is where we're going next week. Are you doing it? It's not too late. But you've had that magic moment. And what I'm really wanting to happen for you is that you fall in love with God all over again. If that's you, I want to pray for you that this particular week God will come again and you'll have a magic moment even this week as you rehearse and think about that time with God. If you've had that in your life in the years past or time past, whatever, if you've had that magic moment with God like I've described and you know exactly what I'm talking about, would you raise your hand and just let me pray for you? I see. Man, that's amazing. Most of you have had this. This is great. Father, I just pray for these. Lord, I want them to have another magic moment even this week. I pray that they'll put themselves into a position, in a place where you can do it again. And Lord, they'll be reminded of that moment, that time when you were so real and you put something into their heart. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that they'll experience your presence again in a mighty way and have a magic moment this week. Head still bowed, eyes closed. Now, others of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you say, what are you talking about? I've never had anything like that. Well, you see that it's real. You see you can have it. And so what I'm going to pray for you is that this week, as you ask God, Lord, I want one of those times. I want to talk to you face to face. I want to know you. Teach me your way so that I can know you, that you'll like me, that we'll have this relationship. I'll have your favor. If that's you. I want to pray for you this week that you'll have a time so that when you come in here next week, we can pick it up after the magic moment. What? If that's you, you've just never really had one of those times, but you sure would like one. You sure would enjoy one. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Just let me pray for you so that God will give you one. I see your hand. I see another one. Okay, good. Praise God. Father, thank you. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, you see these people. They're hungry for you. They're wanting you. And so, Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to come this week. Give them that moment. Lord, come so alive in their hearts. They're so full, they'll feel like they're going to bust. Father, I ask you to bless them. One more thing. Some of you are so far from God, you're saying, there is no way I'll ever have a magic moment. It's not true. God wants to have one with you way more than you want to have one with Him. You've allowed situations and circumstances and things in your life to cause you to dry up. Maybe there was a time when you knew God, you were with God, and you just dried up and you just kind of backslid and gave up on God. Or maybe you've never committed your life to the Lord. Well, the Lord wants to fix all that. In our series, He's going to fix it. But today is your day to begin a magic moment. Today is your time. The Lord wants to invite you in. See, you can't come to God unless Father draw you. You can't come to Jesus, He said, unless my Father draws you to me. So what I'm going to ask you to do is if you feel like you're just far from God and you really don't want to know Him, if that's you, would you raise your hand and just let me pray for you? Just right where you're sitting, would you lift your hand and just let me pray?